Arr, Grog.
Hello, and welcome to Jenny's Kitchen, a weekly podcast about Jennifer Aldridge and her amazing life. Kerry, Matthew, how are you doing?
I'm just going to get my avocado terrine out of the fridge.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, this is what it is these days, isn't it? I mean, are we still the cider shed with Kerry Warbis, Matthew here, Peter Fickling? Is that who we are anymore?
That voice, Peter. Oh, my God. I'm a bit stunned.
I'm just holding a mirror up to our lives. That's all. I mean, someone has to do this.
I also thought, I don't know, was I the only person? You know, terrine is like inter, isn't it?
Oh, Kerry. Do you think they popped Jenny in hot water to loosen her up?
I quite liked that scene with the sloppy, awful terrine thing, which doesn't exist. I did look it up and there isn't one on the internet. So they properly went like, right, what terrible 70s combo can we put into this hideous thing that has to then end up as being a dip?
That was the sound of me and Matthew both trying to think of some character who fits that description. Yeah, and failing, yeah.
Burt as he is now.
Yeah.
Poor Susan, I loved her this week.
She's been, well, I think, I mean, I'm glad I got in early with being a big fan of Susan, 5.0, 6.0? But yeah, she's been a great character the last few weeks, hasn't she?
Yeah.
There you go, a bit of positivity after the... So am I being unfair to still be a bit bored of the whole Jenny Darling thing? I mean, let's put it this way. If every character needed 3 weeks to say goodbye to them, how many characters are there? And how many years of Archers would there need to be to cover all of the various deaths?
Yeah, there was that bit where Lillian said to Tony, how do you condense 70 years into 3 minutes? So I was like, please try and do it in less on Friday, if you can.
Yeah, but then when they did, all that happened was her and Tony wittering on about themselves.
Oh, yes. I did also, it was really annoying. It was really annoyingly clunky the way they did that kind of relay race of eulogies. So you had to hear Kate's eulogy and then you had to hear Tony and Lillian discussing it in private so they then could wheel out their kind of double act in church. And it's like, but we've been hearing about Jenny for weeks. Like, it would have been quite a clever way of doing it if it was a standalone episode about you know, Jenny dying. But at the tail end of 3 weeks, it's like, yes, we get it. She's dead.
I loved it when Tony and Lillian realised that what they ought to do is talk about the fact that she was their sister. I was like, fucking hell, I was literally swearing at my radiogram.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Although Kerry and I were saying, Matthew, before the show, that I had high hopes. I was like, he's perking up a bit. He's going to sound free and single. And then at the last minute, they took it away from Kerry. They had him padding back into the house, talking to the Jenny in the sky.
Yeah, and his colourful tie that she helped him to choose from beyond.
Yeah. Sorry, Kerry.
I would take that final moment with Brian over any of the rest of the week. That moment where he closed the door.
No, no.
Why?
No. Because the funniest moment in the Archers of the last 20 years happened this week.
You're right, yeah. You're right. Should we have an ad and then discuss what that was?
Yes, please, yes.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Matthew, let's see. Are we talking about Jasper Carrot? Are we talking about Harrison finding God? Or are we talking about Brad, Chelsea and Freddie arguing about volunteering?
The last one.
It was immaculate. Absolutely. And the acting was incredible. The scripting was incredible. Brad doing his Rain Man thing was perfect.
And they were like, how do you do that? I don't know. It's just what I do.
No, he just went, I didn't know. He was far more succinct than that. Freddie went, how do you do that? And he went, don't know, just can.
Yeah.
It's just no f***ing about. He just like got straight to it, didn't he?
Yeah. And then also Chelsea just letting Freddie tie himself in knots before just pointing at the elephant in the room and saying, you're a snob and you think I'm thick. It was just... I've got to listen to that again, actually, which I very rarely do, like go back and intentionally listen to an episode. But I'm going to listen to that again. It was wonderful because I was in a bit of I was sticking the boot in a bit and kind of grumbling and stomping around. And then that came on. I was like, okay, all is forgiven.
Did you think that he was being snobby? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, that's what she said to him. But I thought he was, because what other reason is there to, admittedly, when Chelsea first joined Lower Loxley, she was a bit inconsistent and unprofessional. But this is a volunteer job. So first of all, you've got to get your head around the fact that Freddie's setting this amazingly high bar for people who are going to give their time to help out and basically prop up his family business. Mm. But so, okay, if you accept that, then, we all know Chelsea. He knows Chelsea. She's an incredibly engaging, charismatic person. Her failings in the orangery are not going to be failings that let her down guiding people around a house. So it could only be her accent, her kind of like, I don't know. Yeah,
going, that's what they did in them days, isn't it?
Yeah.
he did sort of go, I just really enjoy Freddie. I know you're probably right, but when he was sort of going, yes, you did. That was quite that. I really enjoyed that. But maybe some of the phrasing. I thought, I think he had a point, don't you? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
She was totally let loose on the punters. I mean, she's not going to be because she turned him down, didn't she? Which was quite funny.
I'm not anti-Freddie. I mean, she still has a job because he's been generous to her. Like, he would have been well within her rights to fire her when she was, behaving appallingly to Mia and all that other stuff. So I'm not anti-Freddie. Like, it's just that I think his reasons for not wanting her to do it were not necessarily the best ones.
Yeah.
I liked his selection of names that he called Brad upon arrival. He's like, Brad, B-Dog, the Bradster. Kerry or Peter, when you go out and there's no one else at home, do you lock up before you leave?
Yeah.
That's very diligent of you. Brad was locking up his bike and Freddie, in an attempt to butter him up, went, oh, I'm just going to lock my bike up. Oh, yes, diligent. Attention to detail.
Love it.
He's went, I just don't want it to get stolen.
Yeah. I just think Freddie's just some sort of, he's like a sort of satellite creature who's just in his own little universe somehow, isn't he? I just find him fascinating and how he speaks and everything. He just doesn't have proper connections, warm connections with anyone proper. Do you know what I mean? I feel for him.
When Nolitando and Rory came back, you suddenly felt that we've lost that connection they all had. Obviously, he had to go. He went to a Young Offenders Institute, wasn't it, for dealing and stuff. So I think that kind of cut him off a bit. And he was a bit of a pariah, I think, for a while, wasn't he?
Mm.
And it's been quite a long road back for him getting there. There was that bit where he said to Nolitando, when what she doesn't seem to have anything to do, does she? She's come back and I get it. Like I go back to see my dad sometimes and I'm in the countryside and I'll just wander aimlessly through the fields talking to sheep. That's totally fine. And she knows people there. So I guess she is just drifting from place to place.
Yeah.
But he enlisted Nolitando to help with interviewing volunteers on the grounds that she's a history teacher.
Teacher, yeah.
Yeah, he said to her, maybe you could have a friendly historian chat. I thought it was like Nolitando was like flicks a lamp on a room and goes, nice period costume you got there. Would be a shame if something were to happen to it, Cliff.
Cliff? Who was Cliff as well? He made a noise, didn't he?
Hey, dear boy. And then she went, what's he doing now? And do you know what the shocking thing he was doing? I thought he was cracking one off. Pouring himself a drink from a thermos flask.
Yeah. Well, because she's so young, maybe they've never seen which bracket is she? Is she a millennial?
Well, funnily enough, you tried to pair her up with Brad a couple of weeks ago until we realised there was a little bit of an age difference at the moment. She's 2021, isn't she?
But someone pretended to be Cliff, didn't they? I thought it was maybe Justin or something.
Yeah, I thought it might be Justin too. I wrote that in brackets. It's probably in. Sometimes they don't credit it, do they? So we wouldn't know.
Should be Neil though, shouldn't it? It's got to be someone from the week's recording.
Oh, cool. Yeah, true.
Neil did play Linda's llama that time.
Oh yeah. Well, in my mind, it was him. But he was great, wasn't he, with his love of history? And he I did think he was going to get rejected. And when what did you hear them say when he said about the gardens being laid out by Perspicacity Taylor? That was such a good joke about Capability Brown, I thought.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting that Harrison was kind of being slightly pushed by Alan into being a volunteer at Lower Loxley because he feels like he wants to become a more relaxed and less diligent policeman. I was like, how much worse could Harrison be at solving crime? Like, it's got this image of the entire... We joked a few weeks ago that he would just say everything was a civil matter.
Yes.
You know, like loads of coke coming up the Am on a barge.
He said he was giving up being a slave to work for Lent.
Yeah, Ambridge is going to become like crime central, isn't it, if he becomes any more relaxed? He had whole slave networks running under his nose and he didn't realise.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it might be good if he got the job because it might be like cold case. He might just look at the roof and go, hang on, there's no way Nigel fell from here. They investigate David's in the slammer by Christmas.
Oh, now I could run with that one. But he was like going, oh, I just graft, I come home, fall asleep in front of the telly. It's like, yeah, that's what everyone does.
Yeah, that's called work, mate.
Yeah.
Isn't Chelsea a little bit too young to have Heidi High-isms in her lexicon?
Oh, what was that then?
Well, she said morning campers, or is that just too general? Yeah.
Well, she's probably picked it up from her mum, hasn't she, or something?
No, that's true.
If Ruth Maddock becomes, you know, immortal, not her name doesn't, but you know, that just that phrase does, then I feel like that's appropriate. Mm. I feel like Winter Davis should be more famous than he is. You know, future generations should be aware of Winter Davis. It's a shame.
Well, he's a meme, isn't he? He's a very popular meme.
Is he?
Is he?
Or no. A GIF? Yeah. Winter Davis.
No, I'm not. I want this to be right. I'm just typing in.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, it's oh dear, what a shame, never mind. When someone's like being very, very kind of overly upset about something.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it's kind of used by...
That should have been the eulogy.
Yeah.
Winter Davis, I mean, so I was trying to work out when it was, what age I was when I thought Jasper Carrot was hilarious. But I also used to think that Winsor Davis was absolutely hilarious. You know, all my lovely boys, all that stuff.
Did you not like him in Never the Twain with Donald Sinden?
Yes, definitely. It Ain't Our Fault, Mum was great when you were young, naive, and sort of had no clue how offensive it was.
I mean, imagine a world where Donna Stell was a household name.
I saw Heidi High in Christmas Panto at Bristol Hippodrome one year.
This is like sort of, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. You stand up and go, my name's Matthew. Yeah. I saw Heidi High in Bristol.
Yeah, the next year I saw Little and Large. I just couldn't stop.
Harry, do you remember a couple of months ago, five or six episodes ago, Matthew was worried about a joke landing because of age. It's like, this is our audience, Matthew. According to the statistics on the Acast, it's jokes are absolutely, you know.
Yeah, chef's kiss here.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But Chelsea, I liked the bit where she realised that volunteer work isn't paid. That was quite delicious, wasn't it?
Yeah, Brad had the pleasure of telling her that, didn't he?
I thought he said, well, I thought you'd have guessed that the work was unpaid by Freddie's new job title.
I always worry with people we've had on the show, so Ryan and Madeline, that when we pay them like enormous compliments down the line, it's going to sound kind of like ingratiating and kind of like oleaginous. There's no two ways about it. Like, Madeline has been absolutely incredible as Chelsea. Like, it's just,
yeah,
like, and Brad as well, I thought was just amazing, and whoever plays Freddie, just the three of them were incredible. And in fact, most of the cast this week have just been superlative. And of course, you know,
apart from Jasper Carrot.
Actually,
was he that bad? I didn't think he was that bad.
Oh, really, really bad.
Was.
I mean, all right, before we go off topic and start shredding a carrot, I just want to say I didn't buy it that Chelsea is daft enough.
All right, I think.
to not know what perfectly toned, to say that line about I'm perfectly toned and everyone says I'm well fit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but surely. Chelsea has been told in school, like, I don't like your tone at some point. She's not that daft, is she?
I think she was cracking a joke on purpose.
She was talking about her body though, wasn't she? She sort of went, I'm perfectly toned, and everyone says I'm well fit.
Yeah, Brad sniggered as if it's like she didn't understand, because it came on the coattails of her saying, you think I'm thick and common. And he was like, no. And then, you know, just, I don't think you'd be the right fit or that have the right tone. And then she said that line, and then Brad kind of chuckled to himself.
You spend more time with teenagers than we do. He's a teacher, by the way, for listeners who don't know.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
He's not Andrew Tate.
What if?
I will happily defer to your expertise, but the way it sounded to me was like he was laughing along with her because she was zapping Freddie in the moment.
Oh, I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, you know, as while you're praising Madeline here, I'll just say I had my ear pods in. At one point, she went, and it like nearly burst my eardrum.
I did love it when she just went, my work here is done, where she just rejected the role and said, I just wanted to prove it to myself that I could get it, and I've done that.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's absolutely amazing.
The man of the manor falling for the lowly showgirl. Are we reading something into that?
Yes. That is Freddie and Chelsea.
It is, isn't it?
I hope so.
I really want it to be the case because we're starting to get a bit of a moonlighting thing going on, aren't we? Like, you know, with Bruce and...
Yeah. Do you ever remember that episode of Moonlighting where they went into a period drama Taming of the Shrew story? It's one very good episode where it goes into this complete fantasy. I think one of them is having a dream and it's Taming of the Shrew.
I've never seen Moonlighting. They did that with Northern Exposure, though. They did the same thing with Northern Exposure. So they gave you the ability to see the romance happen without it happening.
The main takeaway I remember from that as a kid was that Bruce Willis's horse, at one point he's on horseback and his horse has sunglasses on. Massively. Apparently the guy that made Moonlighting has been going nuts on Twitter in the last year saying that it's coming out on like Blu-ray and DVD with loads of extras, and everyone's getting very excited.
Oh, I thought you were doing a Brad there, you know, like his 9 months, 16 days, two months, 12 days.
How do you do that, Kerry?
I just do it. Yeah, your memory is amazing.
Just for useless stuff, to be honest.
Well, we can't mention what my useless memory was doing before the show. It's absolutely. Kerry and I were having possibly the most disgusting conversation I've had with another adult in years.
Yes, yeah. I like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Hey, Matthew, you could be a tour guide, what with your magical memory of history stuff.
I could. I could be recruited if someone was handing flyers out in clubs. I'm imagining Freddie, they're like, hey, remember me? I sold you some wobbly eggs 5 years ago that put your sister in a coma. Do you want to be a tour guide?
At my mum's house? I know. That was Nola Tandy's idea, wasn't it?
Was it either hers or Lily's? I don't know. So didn't Lily suggest a TikTok?
Oh, for f*** sake. Do they have to mention social media and flyers and stuff every time something happens?
By the way, who's doing the Easter Bunny this year? Because last year it was the massive reveal with Kathy, wasn't it?
Oh, God, why have you mentioned that?
Just saying.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't have to, did you?
It's quite traumatic.
Because I hadn't remembered it, Kerry hadn't remembered it, and now we have. It's really unpleasant.
There was the bit when Lily pinched Kathy's ass, didn't she? Thinking it was Ross.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to drag us back to the topic, Jasper Carrot's acting is almost as wooden as Kathy was in that reveal last year.
Oh, that was bad, wasn't it?
It was really bad, yes. It was stuck in my memory. You know, it's sticking in Matthew's memory wouldn't be such a big deal, but sticking in mine, it must have been pretty bloody terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I did ask on Twitter, naively, but I sort of went, has Jasper Carrot ever done acting before? I was curious. I didn't know whether he had. And then people were talking about this police.
He did the detectives with Robert Powell, didn't he?
Which sounds like it was actually quite funny.
It was very broad brushstroke. And it was definitely one of those things where he just had to play like a kind of brummy clown.
It started out as a short, didn't it, on his own show. And there was one excellent episode where Ruby Wax was brought in as a cop from New York, and they were going to hunt down Carlos the Jackal, and she was like, I found him. And they walk into this bar and they went, that's him. And they went, and the camera went to him, and it was Tony Blackburn. And they went, no, that's Tony Blackburn. She went, yeah, that's him. And she pulled out a gun, and Tony Blackburn just pulled out this Uzi, and he was Carlos the Jackal. This was prior to Carlos the Jackal being caught, by the way.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I want to watch that. God. Saying he has acted, he was just sort of...
He was playing Jasper Carrot.
Oh, did you see as well? Someone posted on Twitter, which I haven't replied to yet, I've just remembered, because a lot of people were saying when he first appeared, Jasper Carrot, being grumpy, cantankerous man, that he sounded really like Vince Casey.
Yes, a lot of people said that, didn't they?
Yeah, and then there's this article in the... I don't want to say it, but that revolting newspaper, the Daily Mail, because someone shared it onto our timeline, that it was called out as being borderline racist because people were confusing two people with Brummy accents as being the same person.
Oh, fuck off.
Which is totally ridiculous, obviously.
Well, Matthew and I get mistaken for each other all the time. You know, we don't call that bumpkinist. Just from the West Country.
But he did sound like him, didn't he? You know, that people are allowed to be said that they sound like the same age range of person from the same area.
Well, one common complaint I notice on the tweet along is that people cannot differentiate between Rory, Ben, Josh, Freddie, more recently Paul, which is, I think is staggering.
Freddie?
If you can't tell when Paul's on mic, Jesus Christ.
To misquote Russell Crowe, they've got tin ears, mate. Have you seen that?
No.
Russell Crowe being interviewed by Mark Lawson, and Russell Crowe, when he was playing Robin Hood, and Mark Lawson's like, so it's interesting, your choice of a kind of half Irish, half kind of Canadian accent. Why did you do that? And Russell Crowe's like, you got tin ears, mate.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you think, because obviously Jasper Carrot person, Bill Sykes, strange name that, isn't it? He knows Phil, or knew Phil, didn't he?
Right.
So what is this all leading to, if anything? Or is it just someone that Ben's going to strike up a nice relationship with in the Laurels, or, you know?
Sorry, guy, the cops have finally caught up with me.
What have you done this week?
They decriminalised drugs, but they criminalised puns in Portugal. Matthew's constantly on the run. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, the pun police. Portuguese pun police.
Of which there aren't many. Bunch of miserable bastards.
Do you think Jasper is around for a while? Does anyone know this?
I think he's literally just a pop-in, pop-out. Yeah.
Do you think he's done his job then, or do you think that he's a portal to the past, like Kerry's worrying?
I don't think so. I think that's it. I think it's he showed up. By the way, Lee really hates his f***ing car, doesn't he? He was just like, at one point, he was like, oh, I can't wait to go electric in support of the charging station. And then when Helen was talking about the trip to San Francisco, and it's that ticket cost more than my car. I was like, all right, Lee, just get rid of it, mate. If it's that bad.
But it's the car he hasn't got, isn't it? Because he wanted an electric one. He said, when I've saved up, I want one.
Well, he's moaning about the car that he's banging, the banger that he's driving around at the moment, whatever that is.
What do you think? Is it a Capri?
No, a Capri is like a lot of money, isn't it? One of the old Capris.
Can I permission to be a pedant again? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Well, I've off air, I've been a lot more angry and pedantic about it, but this whole San Francisco thing's driving me potty. You can get cheap flights to Oakland. It just irritates me. They don't just spend 5 minutes researching this stuff, because I know so much about that city and that neck of that part of the world. Each one of these scenes where they're worrying about, you know, visiting, not visiting, what goes on over there, what doesn't go on over there. There's 101 subtle little mistakes. I know everyone's got these things in the Archers. Like, imagine listening to the Archers as a farmer. I mean, you must go absolutely mad.
Are you saying you don't have to cash in an ISA to go to America? Oh. That's why I've never been. No, I have been. I went once.
Yeah. Had the ISAs did you cash in, though, Kerry?
None. I went up the top of the Twin Towers, though. But
yeah, me too. Yeah. The year before, actually.
Ooh.
So you didn't need specialist knowledge to spot that was absolute bollocks?
Well, I've got no idea these days how much it is.
Not that much.
If it's a bit like you know, flying to Euro Disney or flying to Paris. If you want to get there cheap, you can anyway.
It was really funny as well how when she went, tickets for all us and the boys, and Lee sort of went, I really love you, Helen, as if he'd never said it before. You know, he said it with such gusto because she was paying to go to America.
Yeah, funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, suddenly he's getting all amorous.
I might record my rant about when they, in advance of them doing their trip to America, just so I can have a week off, because I can pretty much predict everything they'll say about going to San Francisco, their holiday there. I'll see if I could record it sort of without having to, and then just see if I get everything right.
Yeah, you could do a bingo card, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Of what they're going to mention.
While we're on the topic of the, well, loosely on the topic of the charging station.
Oh, yeah.
Kerry Davis pretty much dropped a bomb in reply to a Cidershed tweet telling us a spoiler, didn't he, this week? Did you see that?
I did not. Was it when you did the Twitters?
Yeah, you had said something about the charging station and you said, why would it be an issue? And he replied, because it'll have a shop and a cafe. And then about two hours...
We didn't bloody know that, did we?
Yeah. About 2 hours later, it was on the show. So he actually dropped it early in reply to one of our tweets.
Okay.
To which I replied as if to say, like, it's almost like you have a sixth sense for these things.
Oh, brilliant. No, I'd missed all of that. I was in a sort of plum sake haze.
It's possible that I think he'd forgotten which episode had gone out when.
Yeah, love that. Love that.
Plum Sake Haze sounds like your daring kind of your sort of awkward second album, Kerry.
Yeah, with Jimi Hendrix. I just envisaged at first that this electric charging station was just like one bit of wire for a car. Now all of a sudden it's 20 places, isn't it? And then a shop and a cafe and some parking spaces and All local businesses will be wiped out the moment it arrives. And who has got an electric vehicle nearby? Well, we all know, don't we?
Adil.
Yeah.
But I think it's Justin, and that the whole thing in the village shop has been market research.
Oh,
is he sort of going, would you like some tissue? Have you got an electric vehicle that you need to polish with this box of tissues?
Do you not think? It's just total Justin, isn't it?
What market research has he been doing then? What do you think he's been?
Garibaldi's.
Well, anyone who buys Garibaldi's got an electric vehicle.
I don't know. I think part of the reason he was in the village shop was to just get a sense of what people buy. He'll probably start volunteering in the tea room next.
That's a very, very, very good call, because he did then immediately just drop the whole thing, didn't he? Like he,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay.
I think this is one of Matthew's good predictions.
And building up for some wonderful tension between him and Susan. Like, I trusted you. This kind of thing.
Until Susan finds out there's a managerial position at this.
Yeah.
Chelsea was quite excited about the prospect of getting a job there, wasn't she?
What do you mean? This will create loads more jobs for the community, will it?
Yeah, and it's environmentally friendly. Oh, I like the way...
sounds awful. Yeah.
Susan went, lights on day at night. And Helen went, that doesn't sound very green. And Susan went, it's no laughing matter, Helen. She went, oh, sorry.
What about your lovely Fallon with her cafe? Tea room.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Fallon can take over Spiritual Home.
I thought Brian had put the kibosh on that. I thought Brian had sort of convinced Kate that she was going to keep it. I will admit that I was sort of making some food for the family when that bit was happening. So I wasn't giving
the best bit was when he said, when Kate said to Brian, I didn't think you were into touchy-feely stuff. It's like everyone was like, of course he's into touchy-feely stuff. Just not to be mentioned on the day of his wife's funeral.
It's good that they did that, though, wasn't it, as well? Because everyone was jumping around on social media saying, oh, my God, when Kate drops the bomb that she's selling Spiritual Home, which was the reason they lost the house,
yeah.
Don't forget, Brian's going to go fucking ape shit. And he was just like, oh, yeah, I heard that, yeah. Are you sure that's what you want to do? Okay, that's cool. Because the last thing I wanted was grief at the funeral. Maybe it'll come later, but I don't think so.
No, because he knows that he gave Kate the opportunity to screw up. Kate didn't create the bigger problem. She just, you know, put the she was the cherry on the cake, wasn't she? She didn't actually create the problem. If he hadn't poisoned his entire
community.
Talking of poisoning people, I mean, I think it would be I thought it would have been quite a good idea to just empty the freezer of all of Jenny's specialities and serve them all up at the funeral. Just get it out of the way. Because that's probably prime market to chow down on that stuff. Because I don't know, like I have people over for dinner occasionally. Like if someone's tucking into a moussaka, like, who made this? And you're like, a dead person. It does not put the guests at ease at all. You just clear the freezer and get it gone.
No, maybe Brian wants to be chowing down on some frozen Jennifer.
There's a bigger problem. It's Jenny Darling has been hiding all Adam's victims for years. Hundreds of Romanian boys who've gone missing after working on the farm.
Oh, God, all hidden
in Jenny's chest freezer.
Amazing. Oh, God. Yeah.
It's as probable as any of the other plots on the show. So
Someone on Twitter did say they thought that Brian had kept Jennifer somehow. And I was like, what, nestled in the freezer amongst the shepherd's pie?
I was muted, but I just spat a glass of water all over the desk then, Gary.
Oh, yes. See, you can have fun when someone's died in the arches, can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
My friends were all very morose once going to a relative's funeral, and they were walking down towards the church and no one was kind of like speaking and everyone's very sad. and they looked over, and adjacent to the graveyard was a horse with a massive erection. And everyone just started pissing themselves laughing. Oh. And just set the tone, really.
It's so base, isn't it? I did think the funeral was quite shit, actually, this episode. I thought that it would be, you know, we'd hear some lovely music, we'd hear something about Jennifer, not about Tony and Lillian. Yeah.
It sounded like Dross were playing at the funeral to me.
The centipede didn't even appear, did it?
No.
Kerry, you know, like Ghanaians, some Ghanaians have very decorated coffins. What would yours to be?
A big lamb chop.
It's a big lamb chop.
It'd be inside it.
Look, yeah. Kerry, if I have any say, and I don't think I will, but if I do, and assuming you predecease me, I will move heaven and earth to make sure you're in a giant lamb chop.
The thing is, though, actually what I'd like is just a cardboard one that doesn't cost any money at all, because I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, what about if I make you one myself and it's a biodegradable lamb chop?
Yeah, paint my cardboard coffin
as
if it's a lamb chop.
Peter's going to bury you in a massive donut.
Yeah.
Whilst I'm alive. Don't put a donut on it. I don't like sweet stuff.
No, Kerry, I'll put a little bell in your hand so that as we're lowering the lamb chop into the ground, if you are still alive, you can give a little ring.
Okay.
As an innocent child by the graveside. The lamb chop's ringing, the lamb chop's ringing.
Oh dear. Yes. Good, good. Yeah, lamb chop coffin. Thank you.
All right, deal.
What did we think? The bit where Kate was talking to Alan, where she was going, I just don't
quickly, sorry, Matthew, think... you're being buried in a dead seagull.
That's fine. Anyway, I'm totally happy with that.
And what about Peter? What are we burying Peter in? A poncho.
Yes, for sure.
A what?
Poncho.
Yeah, I'll take that. Why not? It's got nothing to do with me, but you know.
You had a poncho.
Oh, that was me being sick. But how? I thought you were going for that. Great. Do you remember England fans used to, when they went to Mexico, they all wore those big silly sombrero. That's it.
You can have one of them as well if you want.
Okay, yeah, I'll go full Mexican. I mean, you know, it's about as interesting as I'm ever going to be. So yeah. Sorry, Matthew. What were you saying?
I was talking about the archers. Is that right?
Well.
For God's sake, Matthew, don't bring everything down all the time.
No, just the bit where Kate was talking to Alan, where she was like, I just don't think I can do it. And he was like, I know we've had our problems. You know, and she went, this window, it just seems so trivial now. And I was like, a listening nation is like, now? Felt bloody trivial at the time. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I just had this vision that Alan sat in front of the laptop and he's just scrolling, looking at motorcycles. And Kate's there pouring her heart out. He's just like, yeah, well, we must do the best for your mother. She was a Harley Davidson, a sheep.
But I bet you it won't be bloody trivial in about a week. She'll be sort of back banging that drum, won't she?
This is them getting the bloody window, isn't it? As far as I can see, I think.
God, really?
This is the window of opportunity. Pardon the terrible pun.
What? Who's going to be in the window now, then? Jennifer with a tagine lid on her head.
Yeah.
Who else? There's
cooking
the
Nova, kicking Nova and Saren.
Yeah, Nova and Saren. No. They can't do the window thing, surely.
But it would make sense, though, that because I think Alan's disgust was that it was so kind of nakedly celebrating the family, but Jenny's a kind of big enough figure in the village that he could probably get his head around celebrating her or something, you know, like
but where does that end, though? How many windows? And you know, why is she better than anyone else? I don't like it.
Nor do I, but I'm just seeing how it could play out, how chucking Jenny into the mix could actually soften Alan up.
No. I think it would be bad if that happens.
This is the same as the Freddy thing earlier on, Kerry. I'm not saying what I want to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please, I mean, you thinking it's bad doesn't mean it isn't going to happen, Kerry.
Yeah.
I really wanted Adam. I really wanted Adam to do the eulogy.
Just for
log potential.
Oh, but like do it like the son from The Thick of It. Mother! standing in the doorway.
Matt Berry.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Berry.
Love him. But there were so many people absent, weren't there? Like someone put on Twitter again, like Peggy and Debbie were obviously deep in conversation in some sort of far away room in this funeral.
Rory went off for a walk.
Yeah, like so many people were not part of this. I think if you're sending off an actor / actress after such a long time in the Archers.
Yeah, I think you can deserve to be a little bit pissed that there weren't more people on mic for that.
Yeah.
Shall we have an ad?
Yeah.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So guys, tick, 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 tick. We've covered off all of the topics from this week. We've set a new land speed record for talking about the Archers. I'm feeling very proud of us.
Oh, I've just realised Brian didn't know Kate's kids' names, did he? That was yes. funny.
Yeah, I did a whole kind of back and forth on that. I was like, you know, what's it mean? And I was like, oh, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, you know, it's absolutely fine. They're the other side of the world. They're in another country. He's grieving. He barely knows them. I mean, I mean, that was always the nonsense, wasn't it? With Kate, the whole Kate and Phoebe thing.
Yeah, I mean, he knew Phoebe and then went, what are those other ones?
Yeah. And it's kind of the truth of the situation, isn't it?
I knew Phoebe wasn't coming back because the actor pretty much said that was the end of her in The Archers a while ago on Twitter when she went off to Scotland. Guys, we had an email. We never get emails.
Good heavens.
Well, this is what happens. But now that Matthew's got his eye on it, you know, and we've got an email. I was just trying to think of something clever to say, and in my brain,
it deserves a shout out because it is in itself. It is a review. It says it's from Yasmin Bushby. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Hi, folks. I can write a review for some reason, but I just wanted to say thanks for a great podcast. It's like sitting in the pub talking shite with your mates. We hear that a lot, don't we?
Yes.
That observation. Which is exactly what I need for this weird Archers obsession I have. Loving the Archers is not exactly something you can bring up at a dinner party in case you want to be made fun of. Absolute cracker of a podcast, and you fill my weekend Archers void when there isn't a new episode. Random aside, thank you for your disdain of Helen. She shits me, and I love that she shits you guys too. Cheers, Yasmin. Smiley face, Melbourne, Australia. Yeah, she does. Well, I mean, I did reply and say, like, I'm more familiar with the Western Australian-ism. She gives me the shits, which isn't she's fed me some dodgy Borsetshire blue. It's like she annoys me. Yeah, thanks, Yasmin, for that. I know some people have trouble leaving reviews, so that was lovely. Thank you.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, whatever Helen is, it's shit.
And Kerry, if people want to tell us that we're like a bunch of sozzle wankers in a pub on Twitter.
Yeah. Come to @thecidershedpod on Twitter. And I must apologise, last week I forgot to read out two new reviews. So thank you, Richard2112, for your review, which was, love this podcast, the wit, the smut, the camaraderie. Oh, I don't know about that off mic. Anyway, and the casters, and then in brackets, is that the right word? I quite like that. The casters love the show deeply, and that shines through in their cheery, good-natured banter. And Miss Withers wrote, there's nothing I love more than listening to the spoonful of sugar that can help a sometimes very bitter medicine of the archers go down.
That review actually was featured on our Instagram, which, you remember last week I told us we just cracked 700.
Aye.
We're at 749 now.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I just want to say as well, thank you to new Patreons, Liam Rayner and Louise Lombard.
Yes,
they've
thank you very much.
Joined up. Yeah, that's a massive help to us. We really, really appreciate that. We also have a Facebook group called The Cider Shed Podcast.
What goes on there, Matthew?
Lots of nonsense.
Is it happy nonsense?
Yeah, it is happy because I would say we run a tight ship. We don't. We just don't seem to have tossers on there, which is great.
Lovely. Great
stuff. Yeah. But there were lots of people that were, yeah, lots of new members this week, and a bit of an exodus over from the official Archers page, which has stopped posting. And lots of people posting photos of Yogi. Well, Liam posted a photo of Yogi Bear with an Uzi in relation to Cocaine Bear, which only got one star in The Guardian, which I'm totally ignoring.
Okay. Yeah. Was that Pete? What's his name?
The reviewer?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Isn't that the fellow of Catelyn Moran?
I'd say to give Cocaine Bear one star is to show that you have missed the point. It's impossible to have one star because the whole point of it is it's supposed to be nonsensical, right? But anyway, I'm determined to like it.
Yeah, me too. 100%. I mean, I watched Ghost Rider when I was really, really stoned and thought it was the best movie with Nicolas Cage and thought it was the best movie I've ever seen. And on reflection, it's probably not, but it was that evening.
Hey, football action. Anything?
Oh, not much to report. I had a very high score this week, but it didn't really budge me up the table. Teams have to be in by 11 o'clock tomorrow. That's no use to anyone that's listening because we don't go out until Saturday afternoon. No, Kerry, do you want to know where you are just very quickly? Terry Wigan's still leading. Warbis Dream Team is down to 12th. You keep going up and down.
Oh, Sars.
I'm down to 18th. Relegate the Archers by Peter Fickling, still glued to the bottom of the table at 24th.
Thank you very much.
But at one point, Kerry, you had more outfield players injured than Peter this week.
Oh.
Have a word with your offspring.
Oh God!
Yeah, I'll speak to Max.
Max is going to get the switch again.
Yeah, you're going to give him the dreaded vote of confidence, Kerry.
I'm transferring him out of this acting house. Brighton play West Ham this weekend, so Peter, we might fall out.
Another Sidership derby.
And Leeds play Chelsea, I think.
They do. Oh. Yeah, at Stamford Bridge, probably Graham Potter's last game.
Who to support in that game? Oh, God, I'd say it's one to work out, isn't it?
Because Leeds are so likable, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes, in this context, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, enough about that. It's my birthday on Sunday.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you've got lots of surprises planned.
Well, I'm looking forward to next week, because normally your children do a very good job of spoiling you on your birthday.
Yes.
I think last year, if I remember, there was a breakfast in bed from Mimi, wasn't there?
And a load of Cider Shed related stuff as well, wasn't there?
That's right.
I don't know if it was breakfast in bed, but yeah, I did get Cider Shed related. Yeah, I'm excited.
You have a lovely birthday, Kerry.
Thank you.
Matthew, best of luck against Leeds on the weekend.
you almost sounded like you didn't mean that, Pia.
Yeah, I managed to find a new and really unpleasant level of sarcasm I'd never found before.
All right.
Love you both.
Bye.
See you next week.
See everyone. Bye.
Hang on.